Putting pen to paper lights more fires than matches ever will. How about that? This is Thought for Today, Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capo, California. Malcolm Forbes says, putting pen to paper lights more fires than matches ever will. Malcolm Forbes is a publisher of many wonderful magazines and so forth. He may still be with us. But he's an amazing man. Good head, good thinker. And when you think of it, people who have ideas and put their ideas down on paper can cause other people to think, and in fact cause themselves to think, in a very beautiful, dynamic way. I met a young man, and his name is Brian, and very exceptional young man. He's about 24, 26 years old. And I talked with him a little bit, and as I talked with him, he seemed like he was a little bit scattered. And then I said to him, what is your main interest? What turns you on? And so then it's as though he had a plastic face, and it made all sorts of gyrations as he was digging into his mind, thinking of what he was thinking about. And he began speaking about absolute. And he began talking about what absolute is and how the absolute is the universal quality of the universe on which all things are based. And I listened to him, mouth agape, thinking to myself, what a brilliant mind. What a brilliant thinker. And then I asked him several other little questions about absolute and about thinking in the allness and so forth. And he just rattled out what his personal opinions were. And he's amazing, utterly amazing. I listened to him and I thought to myself, I am indeed talking to brilliance. I'm talking to one of the great philosophers of our age, and he doesn't know it, which is charming. He's taking a course in school, in history class, and the teacher said, ask them provocative questions. Now, tell me, do you think this is a provocative question? The teacher says, write a 50-word essay on why we're here. And he wrote a 50-word essay on why we're here in a most profound, beautiful way, but he only got A or B plus, whatever it is he got. He got pretty good. And I said, well, why was that? He said, because he didn't give any references. I said, well, you could give references. You give yourself as a reference. You give your own thinking as a reference. Your own, this is from the thought of you, which is what it is. And he says, he might buy that. But the teacher is teaching him history. And I was so delighted to hear the teacher was teaching him history. And the teacher was teaching him history, but the teacher wasn't teaching him to rotely learn history, but to think why history is. Why are we here? Where are we going? What are we doing? The immortal questions of philosophers through the ages are the questions that this history teacher is asking of his students. And wow, what a blessing to those students. What an amazing experience for those students to run into. Now, I doubt that all students are going to tune in as Brian did. But Brian had such a depth of profundity in him that it's unbelievable. He was able to listen to the divine in him speak in very clear terms, very lucid, and he was able to relate what he did. And I said to him, Brian, please write down what it is, because you're putting your pen to paper will light more fires than matches ever will. Your genius on paper. And I said, then I can read it and learn it too. And then I could use your ideas, and I'd love to. And he says, ah, you know, he discounted him. You see, this is what genius often does. Genius doesn't realize it's genius. And perhaps that's the most happy way they could be. But a genius doesn't realize that they're a genius necessarily. And what they do is they just do their thing as a natural experience. Like we hear about Mozart. He would sit down, he'd write his music, then he'd get up and he'd go and play and he'd do whatever he wants to do. And maybe later he'd come back and continue right where he left off on his music in absolute coordination of the things he had done before and went on. And then he could be in the middle of a note virtually, you know, and somebody, his sister might say, hey, your girlfriend's here, you know, or some other silly thing. And he would stop instantly doing what he was doing, go and do what he was going to do. And later, when he came back, pick it up just as though he had not dropped a stitch, you know, that he was right there. But this is genius. This is genius. Now, you say, well, Mozart, he was tuned in to that inner divine self, and that inner divine self was writing the music. Yes, that's true. Our inner divine self writes the music and writes the words and does all these beautiful things, but it doesn't write it for you or for me if we don't write it down. I mean, as far as the world is concerned, we're a genius, but they don't know what kind of genius we are because we don't write it down. Now, you don't have to write down who you are. I was thinking this morning, now, wouldn't it be interesting if I just told everybody I'm going away, and I don't tell them where I'm going, and then I go away to China, to wherever, you know, and then I would have my server with me, and I would put my daily talks on the server, and with my own domain name, and send it out across the world, and I would just be untouched by any activity. There'd be no seminars, there'd be no letters to write, there'd be no people to talk to, there'd be, surely I'd talk to some people, you know, but basically there'd be no business for me to do other than just to do my morning talk, if you'd call that, or whatever, and write or whatever I'd want to do, you know. And I thought, wouldn't that be interesting? Wouldn't that be interesting? Might be a little boring, but wouldn't that be interesting? Because that is where the genius comes. The genius is just starting that flow, you know, getting that going, and then writing or talking or sharing. And I know oftentimes when I'm in a discussion with somebody, I'll come up with some real neat stuff, real wonderful things. Oh, why not write that down? Why not tape this and stuff? And it doesn't matter. But when you're off by yourself and you're tuned into yourself and you talk to yourself, you know, and you say these things, how profound and delightful they could be. If Socrates, if we could have had tapes of Socrates talk, most of it would be dull as sin, you know. And the reason it'd be dull is because it was everyday thing and everyday activity. However, if we had the privilege of being in Socrates' mind and seeing what he was seeing, just think, if you could have the privilege of being in Mozart's mind, when he was thinking these thoughts and then tuck, stop and go do something else. Hey, don't stop, you're leaving me right at the middle. Oh, some note. And then he comes back. You see, he is him, totally. And he can stop and do this or go do that. Now, you're playing a concert at Carnegie Hall or La Scala or wherever you want to be. And you're the Belladonna. You're the prima ballerina or whatever, you know. And you have to go to the bathroom. and you have to go to the bathroom. You didn't plan very well ahead of time, but you have to go. So you say to the audience, now the orchestra will play for a few moments. You walk off the stage, you go to the bathroom, you come back on the stage, and you say, and now we continue, just as though it were planned. See, that's how a master does it. And but you don't forget where you were. You don't forget where you were with your musical presentation or whatever it is you're presenting, you know. You just go right on. This has happened to me occasionally, not too often. I'd be in the middle of a terrific meditation with a group of people, out-of-body journey or something like that. And I felt the desire to go to the bathroom. And so I just say to them, now, think quietly. I'm going to go away for a few months now and just leave you on your own. So think quietly and meditate upon this point, and we'll continue in a minute. So then I leave the room, go to the bathroom, and then come back. You know? I say, how mundane can you be there? Mundane meaning ordinary and simple, hardly the other word. And how mundane can you be? How ordinary can you be? Well, that's what life is. Life, to a genius, is never unusual. It's never ordinary. It's always extraordinary. Life, to a person who enjoys life, genius or not, is always extraordinary. The little child who plays in the puddle, he doesn't see a puddle. He sees a great ocean. He sees boats. He sees whatever he sees, wants to see. And he sees it, but he just sees who he is. Now, if he has to go to the bathroom, he would go to the bathroom and then come back and play. He wouldn't lose a beat. He wouldn't say, now see, what was I doing? He doesn't have to say that, because he doesn't forget what he's doing. We only forget what we're doing when we allow someone else to involve themselves in our world. Come here, I've got some questions to ask of you. I want to talk to you. Come here, let's talk about this here. And then, see, now, where was I? You know, you hear people saying that. Where was I? Mm-hmm. Because they really weren't staying with where they were. They were not retaining the consistency of their thinking. And that's unfortunate, but so it is. Putting pen to paper lights more fires than matches ever will. That's kind of an interesting comment, but think about it. Letting your genius express in whatever medium you find comfortable for you is exciting. Is exciting. And you don't worry about your continuity. If you are excited, your continuity will be there. As you know, my statement to all of you all the time is, ask me whatever you want, and I'll tell you whatever I want to tell you. Give me any topic you want, and I'll talk about what I want to talk about. I'll wrap my subject around any topic you want, because that's who I am, my subject. That's what I do, my study. I've had so many sponsors in Europe and in America and Canada who wanted me to do their thing. And I told them, I don't care. I go there, I say their word, and then I give my talk. Because I can only speak enthusiastically about what I am interested in, what I believe. And that's what I should do. And you take three teachers teaching, let's say, history. Three of them have three approaches to history. One of them says, let's learn these dates. The other says, let's learn about the people of history. And the third one may say, why was history what it was? Why were there wars? Why was there peace? Why was there abundance? Why was there famine? Why? And I don't mean the demographics of why based on the physiological factors. I mean why because the philosophical. Why because of the thought of those people at that time. What sort of emotional mentalism were they going through at that time? Now, which group of students is going to use the history they learned in their life more completely? The people who just learned facts or whatever? No, it's the people who learn to think. And this is why Socrates has been such a great master share teacher, because he teaches people how to think. And to this day, he's still teaching. And the great men of all time are teaching people how to think. How to think for themselves and how to come to their own conclusions and how to find the finest and the best that life has to give to them. Putting pen to paper lights more fires than matches ever will. When we put our ideas down, when we organize our thinking, and when we share who we are with the world, we will leave an impression that will be indelible. But not indelible in a negative sense or in the sense of importance, but it'll be indelible in naturally. How else could it be different? And this is how genius shines forth naturally. How could it be any different? And that's a beautiful thing. Have a lovely day and think beautiful thoughts and know that I love you very much.